Let's all stand now and sing praises.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen. 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 All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
And the church said, amen. Be seated, please.
It's important for us take a minute everywhere that we have a chance to sing to let you know what our purpose is in being with you. That purpose is not to give a concert or to perform for you, but it's to worship with you. So we invite you to come and worship with us this morning. In Zephaniah, the third chapter, verse 17, we read about a God that loves us so much, he rejoices over us with singing. So this morning, we encourage you not to hear our voices, but to truly hear the voice of the Father as he rejoices over you in song, and to come and worship with us.
Come and see, come and see,
come and see.
Come and see, come and see,
come and see.
Come and see the glory of the Lord.
the Lamb, now come and sing the praises of the King.
Michelle. Woo. That was up there. I just returned. I'm not responsible for anything I say today. I have been in Seattle all week, and this morning, I got in last night, and when the clock went off this morning, my body said it was 3:50. And so I'm not quite caught up. I had a good experience at Seattle where I was out there to speak at Great Northwest Evangelism Workshop, which is sort of like the Tulsa Workshop up in the Northwest. And after one of the sessions, a brother came up to me and literally had tears in his eyes and grabbed me by the shoulder. And he said, "Brother, what you said really, really touched me today." And I kind of stood back and I said, "Well, brother, it's not me. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful." And he said, "Well, yeah. Now that you say, I know that's right, because I've heard you before and you're not that good." And so this morning, in humility, we come to the Word of God. And I'd ask you to open to Hebrews 11. As we begin this morning a series on faith. This morning, defining what faith is. And in the several weeks to come, we'll be looking at Bible characters and the aspect of faith. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1, the Word of God says this. "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And with Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Pamela Reeve wrote a book years ago called Faith Is, and hence the sermon title, Faith Is. I've extracted from that work three or four sentences that are basically sentences that give a perspective on what faith is. Pamela Reeve writes, "Faith is confidence in God's faithfulness to me in an uncertain world on an uncharted course through an unknown future." She says, "Faith is something God will prove genuine by testing. Faith is cooperating with God in changing me rather than changing my circumstances." And she says, "Faith is thanking God that when I'm left with shattered plans, He has better plans." Many years ago now, in Inward, Ecuador, 10 people gathered together to pray and to sing, to encourage each other. It was 5 couples, 5 missionaries and their wives. The last song they sang together as a group was an old hymn known by the word Finlandia. They sang that song, and the lyrics in that song say, "The Lord is on thy side. The Lord is on thy side." And they prayed together, and they embraced one another, and the 5 men departed from their wives, never to be seen alive again by their wives. For those five men, most famous of whom was Jim Elliot, were executed by the very Aka Indians that they went in to share the good news with. And suddenly five wives are left with questions and finding that faith is thanking God that when I'm left with shattered plans, He has better plans. The Hebrews writer tries to express what faith is. He expresses it in Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1, by saying that faith is something that involves assurance and conviction. The Bible says it's being sure and it's being certain. The word translated in the NIV, being sure, is a word that means to come up under to support. If I were to lean a ladder against the wall this morning and ask 8 or 10 of you big strong guys to come and stand under that ladder and support it while I climbed up the ladder, you would be giving illustration to this word. It means to come up under and support. And the Hebrews writer is saying that faith is something that when you find yourself up against it, it is that which comes and supports you. But it's also conviction. It's being certain of what we don't see. The word translated being certain is a word that means proof. Faith is that which is living proof in my soul that God is in control no matter what happens. Because you see, in the course of my life, sometimes things happen that I don't think should have happened, or they don't happen the way I want them to happen, or they don't happen the way I'm praying that they will happen. But faith moves in to shore me up and support me and to say to me, living proof in my soul, no matter what happens, God is still in control. Something else about faith. It's lived in the now, but it's pointed to the future. You see, it is in being sure of what we, what? Hope for. It's lived today, but it looks down the road at a day that is going to be better. Throughout the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer goes on to talk about men and women who lived their life by faith and who looked for a day of reward that was to come. Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. But I want you to look at verse 24 when it talks about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Now listen. He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. In 1979, when we went to the Bible Lands, we went to Cairo and we saw the pyramids and the Sphinx. One afternoon, they took us on a limited amount of time to the great museum at Cairo. It just so happened while we were in the Bible Lands in 79, a part of King Tut's treasure was touring the United States. Some of you remember that. Maybe some of you even saw King Tut's treasure. I thought when I went over there that King Tut's treasure was going to be missing and I wasn't going to get to see it because it was the United States. But when we got to that museum, I discovered that they brought only a fraction of King Tut's treasures to the United States. By far, the majority was still in that museum in Egypt. And I walked around with my mouth open as I saw the treasures that were a part of King Tut's possession. People, he had a chariot that was made of solid gold. One of the caskets was touring the United States. That was the smallest one, because there were four caskets that King Tut was buried in. All four solid gold inlaid with beautiful gems. He was put in the smallest one, which was put inside a second one, which was put inside a third one, which was put inside a fourth one. 1979, the price of gold was over $600 an ounce. And we quickly calculated that one of those caskets would have been worth millions and millions of dollars if you just melted it down. There were masks that the pharaohs wore that had gold and gems all over them. There were scepters that were his and crowns that were his. And you just looked at these treasures and you just awestruck at the magnitude of the wealth those guys had. And it says that Moses refused the treasures of Pharaoh. He refused the treasures of Pharaoh so that he might receive his reward from God. You see, brothers and sisters, we live our life of faith today, but we look forward to a day of a greater reward for everyone. Up in Seattle, I was speaking on one of the sessions that I spoke on the compassion of God. And there was a lady that was seated near the front, and once I got into the compassion of God, she began to cry, and I watched her, and through the whole 50-minute session, she cried. When the session was over, people came up to me, and they were greeting me and talking to me, and she was kind of at the back of the circle waiting. So finally, everybody left, and she came up to me. She was trying to choke out the words, saying, "I'm sorry." And in her words, she said, "I'm sorry, I bawled all the way through your session." And as she said that, the tears began to flow again, and I moved and I put my arm around her, and I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I lost my husband." And she said that, she took her glasses off, and she began to dab her eyes, and I said, "How long ago did you lose him?" And she said, "Almost a year ago, but I miss him as if it were yesterday." And I squeezed her there, and she sobbed for a few moments, and then finally she stepped back and she kind of looked up at me, and with tears flowing down her face, she sort of smiled and she said, "But one day I'm going to see him." You see, people, faith is lived today, but it looks forward to a day when there's going to be a greater reward. That's what the ancients were commended for. They understood that faith was that which shored you up in difficult times. That faith was that which moved in and gave you living proof in the tough times that God is still in control. And that faith, though lived today in the midst sometimes of horrible pain, looks down the road to a day when God will reward His own. But the Hebrews writer says it also focuses on the unseen. Faith that is genuine and real focuses on what is not seen. We hate those words, don't we? I mean, spiritually speaking, most of us came from Missouri. The show me state. You show it to me and I'll believe it. We walk by sight and not by faith. Show it to me, God. Show me how you're going to deliver me out of this situation. Show it to me, God. Show me how this is all going to work out. Then I'll believe it. But the Bible comes to us and says we walk by faith and not by what? And Hebrews writer says that the heart and core of faith is the fact that it focuses on what is not seen. I got to tell you, there are times in my life I can't see how this thing is going to work out. But faith moves in to shore up and support and convict me in my spirit. God is in control and He is going to work it out to His glory no matter what. We gather here this morning in the name of Jesus, and there, not a one of us have ever seen Jesus. We are convicted in our souls that He lives and He is here in our midst this morning. You see, at the heart and core of our faith is that it focuses on what is not seen. And then it says, verse 6, it's absolutely necessary to prove God. It's absolutely necessary to please God. He says that without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please God. Would you say impossible with me? Impossible. Say it again. Impossible. The Hebrews writer says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I got to tell you, all of us have this need inside to want to be approved. I want to be approved by you this morning. I want to be approved by the eldership. I want to be accepted by them. I want to be approved by my friends and my neighbors and my working colleagues. There's a part in us that wants to be approved by others. But the Hebrews writer says that the one to whom we go for approval above all men is God. And the only way we can please Him is with faith. Faith moves in to shore me up and support me when I'm falling. Faith convicts me in the Spirit as living proof that God is in control. Faith lives today but looks down the road to the day. God will in fact redeem in the ultimate sense and reward His servants. And I understand that without faith, I cannot please God. Parents, you rear your children without faith, you cannot please God. A church directed by a group of men who take it in the direction apart from faith, that church cannot please God. This morning, as you and I assemble together in the name of Jesus, we need to understand that without faith, we cannot please God. It's impossible. I saw Friday a man that I've known for many years. We've corresponded through the years, seen him at workshops and various places. He's been down here a few times. He came up to me after one of the classes. He said, "I need to talk to you at 4 when this class is over, next class." And I said, I can't. I've got another class. I've got to speak again. He said, "Well, okay, maybe I'll find another time to talk to you." And I talked the class, and when the class was over, he came up and he started talking to me. And in a matter of just a few seconds, boy, I could tell he was in big time pain. Having known him for a lot of years, I kind of moved in and put my arm around him. And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "My wife has said to me that she doesn't love me. She doesn't want me to be her husband. She does not consider me to be her husband anymore." She started having some emotional trauma and pain, and a therapist started working with her. Through all of that, found out that she'd been abused as a child. And out of the emotional upheaval of going through all of that stuff, she said she no longer loved me and wanted nothing to do with me. Folks, we're not talking about somebody who's 25, 28 years old. We're talking about a grandmother who said to her husband, who is a grandfather, "I don't want to have anything to do with you." And as he began to weep there and try to contain his emotion as people were standing around, said, "Tom, I am so sorry." He said to me, "I know that God is going to work this out. And I just want you to pray for me that I'll trust Him as I go through this, knowing that He is going to work it out." And boy, I left there having been encouraged by seeing one who, in the midst of tremendous upheaval and pain, is trusting that God is going to work it out for His glory somehow. Folks, faith is that practical daily reliance when I count on God to do something I cannot do for myself. It is that practical trust that reaches parts of me I cannot reach myself. It is that practical absolute dependence on God that He is going to pull some things off in my life I cannot possibly pull off in my own. That's faith. And apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. with faith. We find God begin to move in and push up and support and hold us when we know we could not walk without it. We find God begin to move in and give us peace in the midst of our storm when we know we could have no peace, but that He was there. This morning, church, we must live by faith. Our Father and our God, help us to trust and believe this morning. When we find ourselves in the midst of trouble and pain and storms, that You move in and under us to support us and to hold us up, that we can have living proof in our souls that You are in charge, You're still in control. And oh God, we pray that You'll forgive us for seeking the pleasures of sin in the now. That You'll help us to live by faith in the now and look forward to the day. And Your reward will be experienced in the ultimate way. Oh God, help us live by faith, knowing that only there we can find the peace we need to live successfully in this life. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Where you are, or where you've been,
to know He won't let go.
Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You believe that this morning, that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You believe that in the time of the storm, He moves in to hold you up. You believe that He really, truly won't let go. This morning, this one who loves, this one who moves in to support and hold up, this one who can be living proof in the soul that He is in control, is the one who invites you graciously to come to Him and share in the peace that He offers. Morning, if the storm is raging in your life and you need that peace, come to the one who can give it to you, even Jesus. So would you come to Him right now while we stand and sing?
Have thine affections been built to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Was blind, but now I see.
Holy, gracious Lord.
Had saved.